Welcome to the Coffee Break. My name is Neil Damgard. I'm on the air again on the interweb.
Oh, yeah.
That's my name. I've got Charlie Evans with me again today. What should I say about Charlie by way of introduction? I think we've introduced him thoroughly, given his complete resume, all the ups and downs. Charlie, good morning.
Good morning, Neil. Good morning. You doing well?
I'm doing great. Yeah. Okay. So today, with a lot of forethought and complicated advanced planning, we're going to discuss the question. Dun, dun, dun. Are the Star Wars movies good?
Oh, boy.
You and I are both weighing in from a prejudiced perspective here.
Yeah.
Already, because we think darn tootin' they're good.
Whether they're good or not, I've sure invested a lot of time and energy into them.
We're just going to roll with this one, folks. All of you out there in TV land that are listening to the great podcast Coffee Break today, we're just going to roll with this one, and we have a lot we think about this, don't we, Charlie?
Oh yeah, that's true.
Are we opinionated?
I think so.
We're not just objective.
I think so. No, I think this is a part of our cultural our hive mind. This is like when Plato's talking about Zeus. It's similar.
Okay, so we're in sync with the Greek heritage.
Yeah, then. This is the
ancient Greek
for us.
Heritage.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we enjoy Star Wars, and there are Christians out there. By the way, this is a Christian podcast. By the way, I just want to remind you, or at least we are Christians,
yeah.
And we're coming from a Christian perspective. So we should probably start by, if we're going to say, are the Star Wars movies good? We should probably give some understanding of what we mean by good. So, what do you mean by good?
Yeah, no, that's a good question, Neil. Are Doritos good? Right. In a sense, yes. Not in the same sense that kale is good. I think that all of the Star Wars movies are good. At least in the Dorito sense. And some of them.
From a Doritoing perspective, the Star Wars movies are good. They're tasty. They're salty. They're you can eat a whole bag.
I enjoy watching all of them.
Yeah. Yes.
Now, in terms on a deeper level, some of them are good and some are less good. And I think some people would make a strong case they're not good at all.
Oh, some true Star Wars aficionados utterly hate one or two of the movies, as I see on social media, at least.
Does anybody argue that the original trilogy is not good?
No. Nobody thinks that the three original movies, which for any of our listeners who don't know what this means, there were originally three movies, which began in 1977, created by George Lucas, sequential movies, New Hope, help me out here.
The Empire Strikes Back.
The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So the word Jedi came into our popular vocabulary from Star Wars. And then the next three, and these are decades later, right, mm-hmm. are prequels.
The prequel trilogy.
Yes. Which I don't remember the names of those, and we won't waste time trying to remember, unless you remember them.
The Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge of the Sith.
And I don't like the word Sith,
Sith.
By the way. Sith. I don't like that.
My 4-year-old is still working on his developing speech, and he calls him the Fifth.
And we'll take that. We'll take that just fine. And then the three postquels, or whatever, the final three movies, bring us up to the present, so to speak. And,
yeah. And
of course, although I do remember that the galaxy was a long time ago, far, far away and a long time ago.
It seems like it's the future.
Yes.
But it's the past.
But it's still the past. So, mm-hmm. but they are the end of the 9-film project that George Lucas, I think, initially announced. We're going to be doing 9 movies eventually. And, of course, nobody believed him because there were hardly any sequels of movies being made. Maybe Rocky at the same time. What was the other one we said?
Jaws.
Jaws had a sequel in the same time frame. Mm-hmm. So the last 3 came out, and there were some people who really didn't like
the last 3.
Some of that.
Yeah.
And some of the second 3, which were the prequels. Some of those, in fact, probably the first one with Anakin as a little boy. And I did like Sebulba.
Sebulba.
I liked him.
The guy that walked on his hands? Or are you talking about Jar Jar Binks?
No. I wouldn't even mention Jar Jar Binks. It doesn't even deserve... I mean, everybody hates him universally.
Yeah, Sebulba.
Yeah, Sebulba.
Yeah.
I thought he's the guy that he raced against,
right?
Yeah. And I also liked the guy with the little wings and that little hat.
Watto.
Watto, yeah, who was exempt from Jedi mind tricks.
He was not force susceptible.
Yes, and so that... I think there are some people that didn't like some of the films. But,
no, yeah, that's right.
But nobody didn't like the first 3.
No. I think, Neil, the first 3... So I've recently rewatched the first 3 with my children. And my children, I mean my 10-year-old, 13-year-old, and 14-year-old sons. And my 7-year-old daughter. And...
Your wife's consent.
With my wife's consent.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, and not even begrudging consent. She just doesn't care.
Yeah.
so we the first 3 movies had a sort of, they hit the formula just right. The recipe was just right in terms of drama and action and humor. The prequel trilogy, the same children, I've watched it with them, and they're they lose interest during the Senate hearings.
Not hard to understand. As a general rule of life, I lose interest during Senate hearings.
Right.
When, one Senate or another. Yes.
When the specifics of the Trade Federation blockade are being discussed by senators.
By the way, those guys are nasty idiots.
The separatists, the Trade Federation guys?
Yeah, the 2 of them that are talking.
Yeah,
and, I have no use for them.
Yeah, those are weird guys.
Yeah, and Lucas failed. On that count. He could have done a lot better with those. But where Lucas shines, this has nothing to do with anything, just as a side comment, where Lucas really shines, or the Lucasites, mm-hmm. whoever helped him, Industrial Light and Magic perhaps, is in the creation of ships.
Oh, no, those are fantastic.
That is never bad.
No,
never.
Space battles. Whew. Space battles.
In some of those early movies, the ships are pretty cool.
Yeah.
Qui-Gon Jinn, his ship,
mm-hmm.
or is that Obi-Wan's ship?
The big silver?
The silver thing that
looks
like
that's the Naboo ship. They get that from Amidala on Naboo.
Oh man, that's just proper.
No, it is.
It's all shiny.
So the look of a guy like Darth Maul is so much cooler than what Darth Maul does in the movie.
Yeah, and it gives rise to a lot of questions. Where do the stripes come from? Where do the horns come from?
Yeah.
And by the way, if I can make an updated, to bring us up to the very present, I noticed that in The Mandalorian, there's horned guys.
There is. Episode 3 of season 1. One of the bounty hunters that's chasing Din Djarin.
Has those horns.
But he doesn't have the stripes, because the stripes are tattoos.
Oh, are they?
They are indeed.
I did not know that. Yeah.
They are indeed. Now, we won't go down the connection between Darth Maul and the Mandalorian are deep and nerdy, and we would lose all your listeners.
Let's not go there.
But they're there, Neil.
Okay. So Darth Maul gives rise to a lot of questions. I don't have a clue where he comes from, by the way, except that he's Sithy.
Yeah, there's a planet. And this is pushing the limits of my understanding. I've seen all 9 movies, plus the pickup movies, Rogue One and Solo.
Right.
I have seen the Clone Wars TV series, the Rebels TV series with my kids, and I've read several Star Wars novels.
Okay. That's written by reputable authors?
Yeah, part of the extended, the expanded universe.
They're not Johnny Come Latelys.
No, they were endorsed by the, I guess by Lucas. I don't know.
But, okay. All right.
Can I make the case, Neil, for how the hierarchy of goodness in the movie should go?
Yeah, yes. Make that case, okay, please. Okay.
And I'll tell you why. I think the original trilogy is good, very good. The prequel trilogy is sort of good, and the sequel trilogy is not very good.
Do you think that the prequel trilogy is necessary? That we needed that?
Yes.
At least the information.
Yeah, I do. So the prequel trilogy, in terms of craftsmanship, was not as good as the sequel trilogy. Right, the sequel trilogy, in terms of special effects, in terms of...
Things had evolved.
The way, yeah, right.
In the 15 years.
You don't have a Jar Jar Binks show up in the sequel trilogy, right? But...
They learned.
What the prequel trilogy has for it, that the sequel trilogy does not, is the prequel trilogy gets what Star Wars is all about, which is Anakin Skywalker and his failures and success as a father. The prequel trilogy is all about Anakin... And then the sequel trilogy forgets about Anakin Skywalker and starts to revolve around the Palpatines. Sheev Palpatine, of all people.
Yeah. Okay.
So the burning heart emotionally of Star Wars, I think, is the Anakin Skywalker arc. And that's why the prequels end up being better movies than the sequels. Even though they're not as well made and they're not as Doritos good,
right? Yeah. You know, I gotta say, on behalf of the people who are not deep thinkers but are aware of what we're talking about,
yeah,
I didn't need to see Anakin burned up.
The cremation.
When he's crawling out of the lava river, there was, you know, and he's all burned up before the Emperor,
yeah,
you know, rescues him. And
no, that was a little much, and it really casts the conversation with Luke and Obi-Wan in Episode 4 in a different light when Obi-Wan says when Luke says, you know my father. And he says, oh, yes, you know, Anakin Sky, Darth Vader killed your father. Really what happened is Obi-Wan cut off his legs and one of his arms and left him by a lava river on fire.
Truth be told, that's really what happened.
That's a little different.
Yeah, that is a little different than what Obi-Wan reported. Yeah, it's right. That's right. Out past the Dune Sea where he was living.
Yeah, he was. Old Ben.
Yeah, old Ben. Yeah. So, back to the original question of our podcast here. Are the Star Wars movies good? I think we would say resoundingly, absolutely, they were good. They were fabulously good. and we loved them, and probably most of the culture loved them. But I want to take this to another side road. I had a staff member, young man in the church, who was very proud of never having seen the original Star Wars, and so I've had several experiences with people who say I've never seen even the first one. Sometimes it's not that they're proud of it; they just haven't gotten around to it, or they're just not interested in sci-fi at all. They could care less. And you know, and there's a lot of reasons, and we're not saying everybody should go out and view these films.
Correct.
Are we?
No.
Or are we saying that?
I would not want to bind the conscience.
Okay.
Neil.
All right. Okay.
However,
so you're an idiot if you don't go see these. But no. We're not saying that. So there are people, but I have had the Christian card played. That with an individual who said to me, I have not seen Star Wars, nor will I ever. And he was very proud of that as a gesture of sanctification.
Oh, I see, yeah.
And so I've thought about that. I've thought, so A, I'm just carnal. B, I'm just roped into the culture irretrievably now on this particular cultural phenomena.
Yeah.
Or see, maybe I'm just not hearing the Holy Spirit in my heart, because maybe we're supposed to be separate from all this stuff.
Yeah, I So on a, and then this, you have taken this in an interesting direction here. We will not be interested in Star Wars in heaven.
Agreed.
In glory, we'll
easily
have
agreed.
Zero interest in Anakin Skywalker's character arc, which means, definitively, technically, Star Wars is not godly, because when all things are made new in godliness, the glory of God covers the earth like the water covers the sea. No one will remember Star Wars or care. Right.
And we agree totally.
But to take that and say, okay, so then the absence of this equals godliness is to do a little bit of fuzzy math.
Yeah, well said. Well said, I think. Or the deletion of any cultural phenomena, music.
Right.
You know, you could say, listen, I don't ever listen to popular music. That's ungodly. In fact, and of course that's correct sometimes.
Right.
And so we should have nothing to do with that, and we shouldn't wear clothing that has any symbology on it that isn't about God and the Bible and Christianity, and we should be, and if you're going to go that way, fine, but you better be consistent.
Yeah.
Well, that's, or I'm going to be throwing red flags.
That's right.
Penalty flags.
And you've got to. Well, this would go a totally different direction conversationally, but when the Apostle Paul is condemning worldliness, he sometimes is condemning asceticism as a form of worldliness, right?
Tell me what you mean by that, because I don't know that I've thought about that. Condemning cynicism.
Asceticism.
Oh, asceticism. Yes, yeah. Well, I thought you said cynicism.
No, yeah.
Well, I was feeling convicted then.
No. I wouldn't do that to you.
Okay, thank you. Asceticism. Yes, no.
Asceticism.
And I have headphones on. I can hear you, too. Yeah.
So, I think a form media asceticism can, in some circumstances, become a form of worldliness, is what we're talking about.
Yes. No, right. I agree. Yeah. And yes, the Apostle Paul does address that pretty pointedly.
Yeah.
That this is not godliness. And so you make a good point, to delete something and just have an absence of that isn't the same as godliness at all. No, very much, very much true.
Yeah.
But I, okay. Well, you're probably not going to give up Star Wars for Lent. and I'm probably not going to give it up for Lent either.
No.
I shouldn't say that because that's disrespectful of Lent doers. But I'm really not anti-Lent. But anyway, so which is another podcast down the pike a ways, perhaps. So when we say is it good, I think we have to acknowledge. I mean, I'd like to acknowledge that there are parallel values of goodness and badness, of good and evil, that wouldn't be anti-Christian. There are certain virtues and features of behavior that whoever writes the script, whoever the screenwriters and so forth of the Star Wars movies were, they sensed there's some universal agreement on good and bad. Just to pop over very quickly to The Mandalorian, which we both have watched and loved.
Yes.
There's some very strong good and evil. I'm intrigued by who's the little guy in the beginning with the blurbs.
Ooh, I don't remember his name.
That's Nick Nolte.
I Have Spoken guy.
Yeah, that guy. And he's saying, no, you can't buy me. I'm not buyable. And I used to work. I was sort of a contractor for the Empire. But I got past that, and he's wrestling with some ethical issues that are very interesting to me, that I think some Christians haven't even explored some of those avenues yet.
Yeah. So spiritually speaking, from a Christian perspective, the stuff in Star Wars is useful in the way that all stories are, right? There are principles there. There are illustrations there. There are true truths that can be pulled out and are useful to us in things like parenting and discussion. That previous generations, mythology, King George and the Dragon kind of stuff, was the same thing. I'll talk to my boys, and I hope no one thinks this is blasphemous, but I'll say, the Lord God is a father. Like the Mandalorian, not like Anakin Skywalker.
Hmm.
Because when the going gets tough, he's committed.
He's committed. Yeah.
Right. He's not a fair-weather father.
No, he's very loyal and faithful. Right. Yeah. And in that way, he mirrors our God to us and that relationship which we value and promote and advertise that is available to anybody by grace. And so there are truths that are true regardless of what screen they're on, what avenue of media they're promoted on. And I enjoy that. My spirit resonates with truth, whoever's saying it, I guess is what I'm saying. It doesn't have to be packaged in a Christian deal. In fact, sometimes some of the Christian stuff that's packaged is just very thin.
Oh, it is. It's
pushing the Christian identity, but not with quality behind it. So another thing that I wrestle with, and this was my initial problem with the whole Harry Potter thing, is the use of magic or that genre in a way that seems to be neutral.
And I can't
I'm not down with that. And people have, pro Harry Potter people have said to me, well, but you like the Lord of the Rings. What's your problem? Don't you have problems?
There's wizards in there, Neil.
Yeah. And so, and I go, no, I have no problem with that at all. Somehow or other.
as a parenthesis here, can I tell you, another local pastor told me this year that the Lord of the Rings is the ultimate Christmas movie because it has elves and Gandalf is a low-carb Santa. Had you heard that?
No, but I love it. I'll probably use it now, too.
No, I mean, no, but,
that's very cool.
Yeah, so there's wizards and magic and demons and ghosts in the Lord of the Rings, just like there are in Harry Potter.
There's a spirit realm there that doesn't bother me in Tolkien's mythology and mind that just doesn't bother me. In fact, the evil is so evil. It's eviler. That's not even a word. It's more evil than what we're used to trafficking good and evil. And the good is so good. Galadriel is incorruptible, although she's tempted.
Yeah.
And that's powerful.
She passes the test.
And I'll continue to be Galadriel, and I'll go into oblivion. Mm-hmm. But anyway, wrestling with some of these spiritual challenges, and when the media comes along with a series of films or just stories that are so well done, and then backed up with all the really cool CGI. I mean, my wife Renee is not a Star Wars conversant person, really, but she is really enjoying Mandalorian, and we both comment pretty frequently that is filmed so well.
Yeah.
Oh man, nothing is cheesy.
Yeah.
That I've seen.
No, it's really good. It's good, Neil.
Man. Let's ask another question here.
Mm-hmm.
Who's your favorite hero in the nine films?
Just in the films? We're talking films only.
Just in the nine films.
Oh boy.
Okay, so before you answer, who's your favorite hero?
Yeah.
Let's just let's set up the checkbox of possibilities. Obviously, okay. Luke Skywalker is the media's favorite hero, let's say.
Yeah, a protagonist.
The protagonist. The generally accepted, tragically this and that, and beloved and young and all the cool stuff.
Yeah.
And obviously, Obi-Wan Kenobi is important.
Oh, Obi-Wan's great.
It's hard to not vote for Obi-Wan.
He's incorruptible in himself.
How about Yoda?
Yep.
What other possible heroes do we have?
Okay. So there's Han Solo.
Yeah, I guess.
There's...
I got a bad feeling about him.
That's good. Well said. There's a bunch of Jedi. You got Mace Windu and those guys, but I would think of them as secondary.
Got Leia, Princess Leia. In deference to the female gender, we've got to have a female heroine.
Leia and Rey.
And Rey, absolutely, right. Yes.
Right. You've got a Poe.
I think Rey's prettier than Leia, by the way. Well, so I'm sorry, I shouldn't go there. Go ahead.
Okay, that's another podcast.
This might be a series of podcasts, by the way.
And I think you could make an argument for the C-3PO R2-D2 combo as heroic. They're a catalyst
C-3DO.
For so much. Right? But Neil,
they're pretty heroic together.
They make things happen. They forward the action,
And R2-D2 is the only one who's... Are both of them in all nine films?
I don't know.
I think they are. They might be the only two who are
in all... C-3PO's... I think so.
Okay.
But I'm going to say... Neil, I'm going to say that Anakin Skywalker is the hero.
Wow. Not?
Because he repents at the end.
He does. Yes. You were right, Luke.
Yeah, he
you saw good in me. You were right.
I mean, he's the darkest, and he comes from the lowest point.
And he's guilty of many deaths.
Oh yeah. Oh no, he's wicked. But
by the way, when he said to the admiral in the first movie, your lack of faith.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
Does he kill him? Does he die?
That guy? He kills him later. No. No, he chokes that guy. Yeah, but he lets him live.
He lets him live.
He kills a different guy later. It's in the beginning of Empire Strikes Back. And then he addresses the guy standing next to him as Admiral. And that guy's face is great.
Yeah, it is. It is. That's true. Absolutely. So you'd vote for Anakin Skywalker. Yeah. All right.
The height of Anakin's heroism outshines all other heroism. Because it is in that moment of repentance where he repudiates everything he stood for and fought for.
And throws the Emperor... Down the toilet.
To humble himself and acknowledge his son is right.
Yeah.
And to save
his life. That's a compelling vote, Charlie. That's hard to top that. Personally, I'm going to have to go with... And I apologize in advance.
No, go on. You're entitled to your opinion.
Well, I'm stupid as it may be. I really, I wouldn't have voted this way were it not for her final movie, is Carrie Fisher as Princess Leia.
Princess Leia.
Yeah, she's my favorite heroic figure. And the reason is for longevity.
Yeah.
You know, and she's pretty incorruptible. From the very beginning of the first movie, I smelled your stinky presence or whatever it is she says to the Christopher Lee or whoever.
The guy I know you're talking about.
Yeah, Peter somebody, the actor. But she's just good. Yeah. She's just good throughout. She's got a tude going on big time.
Yeah.
Particularly when Han Solo enters the picture. But then she falls in love with him.
That's a good vote, Neil. She has What we refer to as our at our house as the mama bear dynamic, where the Berenstain Bears, mama bear is this consistent presence, and papa bear's kind of a mess. He's bouncing around everywhere, making mistakes, and she bails him out.
Yeah.
Leia has this very consistent presence, while all the men in the Star Wars universe are being inconsistent and irresponsible. Right? She's there. And that really is. She doesn't soar to the height of a guy like Anakin Skywalker, but she's got this bedrock heroism about her.
When she unfreezes, Han Solo from carbon freeze. I mean, that's to me one of the most moving, powerful scenes in the whole nine films.
Yeah,
you know. Of course, Jabba the Hutt knows what's going on, which is annoying, but that's all right. He comes to his nice end at her hand.
He does,
but. Could you... I wouldn't have thought he was chokeable.
No. Does he even have a neck? That was bold of her.
Yeah. That had to have been one strong chain.
So can I share with you... Well, you may convince me. I'm going to share with you a Carrie Fisher quote that I heard, and this is going to be paraphrased. Somebody, I guess, asked the question when Return of the Jedi came out, how am I going to explain to my kids why you're wearing that outfit?
Yeah.
And her response was, an evil slug. Tell your kids, an evil slug made me wear it, but then I killed him.
Well, I don't know that would sufficiently avert my eyes as I you know, watched that scene. And she, I heard an interview with her. She utterly hated that.
A metal bikini? Yeah,
I would wear it. The actress completely loathed doing that. It was very demeaning, she thought, and really stupid. Not a well done, but the whole audience world loved it, you know, completely. But
yeah.
So I mean, that'd be my vote. And you know, that, which reminds me, there's not very many women in the whole story.
That, now that is where the sequel trilogy shine,
because Rey.
Yeah, Rey. But then you get the other who's the general in The Last Jedi, who by herself turns the ship around and flies in the... You know what I mean?
This is where I fall apart, is on the names,
There's some real heroes. There's some real heroic ladies.
And Padme is wonderful. She really is tragically...
she is.
What's the actress's name?
Natalie Portman.
Natalie Portman.
Yeah, there's a Shakespearean quality about her story, right? There's a real tragedy...
Yes, it goes back centuries, that theme, that kind of feel that you get. Yeah, that's very sad. Her whole story is wonderfully sad, if I can put it that way. But there's not a lot of women. There's, what, four or five or six women in the entire nine films. Of course, with all the aliens, you know, sometimes you don't know what gender they are.
That's true.
Or if their own gender, like Jar Jar Binks. That's true. I don't know what he's about, you know.
Right. But that's a good point.
That's
a good point.
The only Jar Jar Binks thing that I like, the one and only, is when he, with his tongue, nabs the piece of meat or the whatever it was, the rodent hanging in the forum. You know, he grabs it and sorry. You know, that was pretty cool. I have tried to do that, by the way, unsuccessfully down at Roanoke Market. But
to use your tongue that way.
Yes, it just doesn't work.
Oh, Neil, that was ill advised.
I'm sorry. Okay, so is Star Wars good? We would say yes, and for a lot of reasons, with qualifications, because we are Christians and we but we are interactive with our culture, selectively.
As far as what our culture produces goes, I as a father appreciate the fact that Star Wars is relatively free from some of the more perverse elements. Right, when it comes to sexual immorality, when it comes to language and grisly violence, this is pretty tame territory.
Yes, and that's an excellent point, and I think probably that's an important point, because unless you're going to vote for complete separation from the culture and attempt consistency, to which I would say good luck.
Right.
Then you're gonna be exposed to certain avenues of literature, let's say, be it film or whatever, that you're gonna have to think through on.
Yeah.
And we would promote that. We would say think through the culture so that you can interact with people without being completely devoid of knowledge of what's going on in our world.
Right.
And but be selective and be mindful of how the Spirit is leading you too.
Yeah.
Okay, this has been Coffee Break. I'm Neil Damgard. I've had Charlie Evans with me. We've been discussing a fairly relevant topic today.
Indeed.
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't return to this at some point. Have we said all there is to say?
No.
No, perhaps we'll do one on The Mandalorian, because that's been quite a phenomena. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you for joining us on Coffee Break. Hope you'll come back again.